Hello, this is Dr. Randy Turpin, and in this session, we're talking about miracles, the working of miracles. In the New Testament, there are four words in the Greek that refer to miracles. There's not just one single word that's translated miracle. Let's take, for instance, the word for works. There's a word used for wonders, a word that's used for powers, and a word that's used for signs. Works, wonders, powers, and signs. In 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about the manifestation gift of the Spirit, known as the working of miracles or the operation of miracles, it's actually the operation of powers. That third word or term that I referred to, powers, is what's used in 1 Corinthians 12. Powers. Now, this is not powers given to us like magical powers or something that we just carry around and on our own can exercise at will. No, these powers are always the result of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through us, and it's centered in upon Jesus. When these powers are at work, it's Jesus Christ working through us through the agency of the Holy Spirit. When miraculous operations, miraculous powers are demonstrated through a believer, they provide testimony to Jesus' supernatural power and authority. There are several purposes of the working of miracles. First, I'm going to give you a list of seven here, okay? First, they accredit God's messengers. There are times when the Lord will choose to validate, verify, confirm the authority of a particular messenger or minister by allowing miraculous things to be done through that person. Secondly, miracles confirm God's message. Thirdly, miracles bring glory to God. Fourthly, miracles demonstrate the presence of God's kingdom. Fifthly, miracles promote faith. Sixthly, miracles demonstrate God's sovereignty, which kind of ties with the point of miracles demonstrating the presence of God's kingdom. But miracles do demonstrate that God is sovereign. He is Lord. He is in authority in the situation. And seventh and finally, miracles help people in need. The way I often think of it is miracles are needed because people need a miracle. There are many times when there's no way naturally a person's need or situation can be addressed or fixed or resolved apart from God doing a miraculous work. Now, not everything that God does is necessarily miraculous or a miracle. Everything he does is supernatural. But many times God is at work in situations, and what he's doing, he's employing or using natural processes already in place to affect what he desires to see as an outcome. Let's take, for instance, some healings are actually the Lord activating physical properties and processes already placed within the human body to cause that body to be healed. You know, the human body is an amazing creation. It actually has, God has designed within the body to a great deal the ability for the body to heal itself, okay? So there are times when healings are the result of the Lord activating those processes, those functions of the body for healing to be accelerated. But now, many healings are actually miraculous healings through the power of the Holy Spirit. Restoration takes place in the body that there's no way humanly possible for it to happen. God supersedes, exceeds, surpasses, goes beyond human natural dynamics and properties and principles to effect a restoration of a human body. Now, that's a miraculous healing. So, I'm a little reserved about the use of the word miracle. I don't describe everything that God does as miraculous, But I am careful at the same time that if something truly is miraculous, that we point to that and say that was truly a miracle. Now, there's a difference between healings and miracles. Some healings are miraculous in nature, but not all miracles are healing miracles. Let's take, for instance, in the ministry of Jesus, when he multiplied the loaves and fishes, that was a miracle, but it was not a healing miracle. How about when he walked on water? That was a miracle, but that was not a healing miracle. Okay? How about when Philip the evangelist was teleported from one location to another without actually having to walk or travel the distance? That was a miracle, but it was not a healing miracle. And I've even heard of these types of miracles happening even in our own day. I heard the testimony of a friend of mine who was in youth with the mission. And now this miracle didn't happen to him, but it did happen to somebody that he knew, that this friend of his in youth with the mission was scheduled to go on this mission trip to China. And he was trying to raise his funds, was not able to raise his funds in time, but he went to the airport with the rest of that team, hoping that at the last minute, somehow someone would hand him the money or hand him the ticket or whatever to be able to go on that mission trip to China. He gets to the airport. He's in line with his team. He gets up to the window there or the podium there to purchase his ticket. The money is not there. There is no ticket. And he then sees, oh, the miraculous provision has not come for me to go on this trip with my team. So what he did, he just chose just to pray with them before they left, before they went through security. He said bye to them all, and he turned around, and he began to leave the airport. When he walked outside of the airport door, and he looked around, he realized he was not in America any longer, that he was in China. In other words, he had been teleported to the destination and actually got there hours ahead of his team by a miraculous teleportation. I've heard of numerous accounts of teleportation in our day. It happened in Bible times. It happens at times even in our day. Many, many miracles. I have been the eyewitness to miracles. I've seen healing miracles, things that cannot be naturally explained. Okay, but the point I'm really making here is that not all miracles are healing miracles. Some miracles are just supernatural works that really have nothing to do with healing. And it seems that a lot of times these that miracles are directly tied to obedience. Let's take, for instance, when Jesus was walking on water to connect with his disciples. Actually, the suggestion in Scripture is that he was about to walk beyond his disciples, but there in walking on the water, the disciples cried out for fear. They thought they were seeing a ghost. There in the night on the stormy sea, a human figure walking on the water. It was terrifying to them. Of course it was. It would have been to us too. And Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid." And remember Peter, Simon Peter, called out and said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you," walking on the to walk on the water. Jesus said, "Come." Peter, in response to Jesus' voice, took a step onto the water in obedience to the command to come. And for a few moments there, until Peter got distracted, for a few moments there, Jesus had empowered Peter through a command to actually walk on the water. And Peter did for a few moments. We're not told how long it was. He walked on the water, but then obviously became distracted by the circumstances around him, the wind and the waves, and began to sink. And then Jesus rescued him in that moment. So in that instance, you can see that the miracle was tied to obedience. And do a review of the miracles of Jesus and of the disciples, and you'll see that often they are directly connected to an act of obedience. And I want to talk about this just a little bit, about the working of miracles. And I think this whole instance I'm looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, this is the story of Jesus walking on the water. I want us to turn to it because some lessons are here that involve us in the working of miracles. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then we come into this account in Matthew 14, where Jesus went to his disciples walking on the water. I'm not going to read that passage to you. I just want to point out some observations from it. There are six key elements in this passage. We see the disciples, we see a boat, we see a contrary wind, a storm, in other words. We see the presence of Jesus, we see a word from Jesus, and we see the man Peter, okay? The only constant and stable element in this story is Jesus. Jesus is the constant. And what I want to talk with you about is how to walk on water. How to walk on water. In other words, how to walk in the miraculous. You cannot walk on water, so to speak, apart from the presence of Jesus. You cannot function in miracles apart from the presence of Jesus. So what is making this miracle of walking on the water work? What makes it work? It's the presence of Jesus. Now here's the thing. On that day, when Jesus said, "Come," to Peter, and Peter began to walk on the water, Jesus was already walking on the water. All Peter was doing was aligning his actions with Jesus' actions. Okay, can you see where we can learn something from that? Peter's faith was fixed on Jesus. Peter's faith was not in his spiritual gift of water walking. Peter was rightly captivated here with the presence of Jesus. Now, people like to criticize Peter. You know, look at Peter. He thought he could walk on water and took a few steps, and then he got distracted, and then he began to sink. Well, why is it that no one criticizes the disciples who played it safe and stayed in the boat? You see, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You know, sometimes we don't take the step out of the boat, figuratively speaking. We don't take the risk because we're concerned. What if I fail while taking the risk? Well, what if you do? What if you do fail? What happened in Jesus in Peter's situation? Jesus caught him. The Bible says that Peter began to sink, and Jesus caught him. And I think we need to commend Peter for the fact that he took the risk here and actually did walk on water. And here's the thing, my friends, Jesus will never leave us in our moments of taking the risk to walk in miraculous power, to walk in faith, just as he was right there with Peter to help him in a point of what seemed to be failure. So he will be with us in those times that we are taking those growing steps in Spirit-empowered ministry for the possibility of seeing miracles take place. The Lord Jesus will catch us if we sink in that. So here's some basic things about walking on water. Number one, have faith in the one who is already walking on the water. In other words, have faith in the one that's already moving in the miraculous, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, ask him for a word. Ask the Lord to speak a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge to you regarding that impossible situation where a miracle is needed. Ask him for a word. Listen for his voice. And then when he speaks, this is the third point, get out of the boat. All right? In other words, you take the risk. So we have faith in the one who's already walking on the water. Secondly, ask him for a word. And then when he speaks, thirdly, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Get out of the safety zone. You know, take the risk. And fourth, just start walking. Start walking in what he has said. Start walking. Step out onto the word he's spoken. In Peter's case, he stepped onto He stepped out of the boat onto the sea. And then he took the next step onto the O, the next step onto the M, the next step onto the E. C-O-M-E, come. In other words, Peter stepped into the word he had received from Jesus. In a sense, you are taking this one step at a time, but in another sense, I suppose you're not. But because it's all or nothing. You're just giving yourself, you're taking the risk. Lord, I'm just going to take the risk of looking foolish here. And that we take the step in obedience to what we're perceiving to be His word to us. Okay? So have faith in the one who is already walking on the water. Ask him for a word. And then, thirdly, when he speaks, get out of the boat. Fourthly, start walking in what he has said. And then number five, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is not about you. It's not about the person you're ministering to. It's not about the circumstances. It's not about who's looking. It's not about what they think or what they might think. It's about Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus in the midst of it. And sixth and finally, do not doubt. Do not doubt. Just give yourself fully to that moment, to what you believe the Lord is leading you to say or do. And then just simply trust the Lord with the results. We have to trust Him with the results when it comes to our attempts to function in the gift of the working of miracles.